You have demonstrated true influence over the people that you have reached across the globe with your voice and with your words. And I think that's why I'm so happy not only to have known you for this past decade plus, but why I'm so incredibly proud of the recognition that you deserve with that award.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. All right, we have a very special edition episode today, and a very special guest slash guest host, sort of. And he's going to sort of take this one from the top. So I'm going to step aside in just a sec and let him work his magic. But first, I want to introduce him properly. He is the one and only Lou Mangiello. He's a former lawyer who decided the days of his life would be better spent playing at Disney and sharing the magic of Disney with the world, which then he turned into an award-winning podcast, like so many awards that he's now considered Hall of Fame, which is insane and amazing. And that podcast is called WDW Radio. And he's also taken everything that he's learned through building his passion business and turned it into keynote speaking and mentoring to other entrepreneurs, just like yours truly. And I'm sure we'll tell you more of that story. So, Lou, this is usually where I'm in the habit of saying thank you for being here. But in all honesty, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you, I don't think. So I feel like merely uttering those words would never be enough to express my gratitude for you responding to my message way back in the day and showing up for me 11 years ago and staying in my corner for all these years. So truly, you have my deepest gratitude. And I'm so excited to finally get to invite you behind the curtain and onto the mic with me. So welcome. We're so grateful to Osprey PAX for partnering with us and supporting the podcast. So please stay tuned for more about them later on. I have an opportunity for you to join me in real life for some real travel. Here's the latest Jump Adventures update. We are going to Greece for a bike and boat island hopping adventure this May 9th to 16th, 2025, and we still have space left. Check out jumpadventures.com to learn more and book now. We're going to have a yacht all to ourselves with ensuite cabins on board, so you get to sleep in the same bed every night as we start in Athens and make our way west toward the island of Corfu. You'll have your own bike for the week, e-bike if you want one, for cycling the islands as we go, in between meals crafted by our private chef on board, and all the relaxing you want to do on the top deck under the Mediterranean sun. These bike and boat adventures are our most carefree and relaxed trips. All you have to do is say yes and show up, and there's still space. Head over to jumpadventures.com to grab your spot now, and we'll see you there.
Well, welcome to the meeting of the Mutual Admiration Society, because we're going to be throwing a lot of love clearly back and forth between one another. I've said this to you over the years, Jackie, I literally remember the very first time that we sat and met and ate at that little diner at the Rio, I think, in Las Vegas.
Yep.
We talked about your podcast and you showed me your book, and it's especially now that you are the recipient of a very prestigious award, it is even a bigger honor. I'm happy that we waited 10 years because now I feel it's even more special to be here.
It is. It's definitely marking a very special occasion because I invited you to come onto this and to record this today. We set this date before we knew what was going to happen last week at South by Southwest. And yeah, I did. I just won kind of a big award. And so we do get to talk about that today. But the original purpose of this episode was really to just reflect on and celebrate. It's been 11 years since I've launched the show this week. Like to the week. It's been 11 years, and I would have celebrated 10 years last year, but I don't know. I was off in the desert somewhere and I kind of missed it. And so here we are celebrating 11 years. And I don't think that it's a mistake of timing that all just happened at South by Southwest. So yeah, we've got a lot to celebrate today.
To throw a little Disney in there, like Olaf says, some things are worth melting for. You are absolutely worth waiting for. And I'm happy that it did work out this way, because I think there is a lot to celebrate, not just, you know, not, I don't say not just the award itself, but the fact that you are here, you know, especially in the podcasting space, Jackie. 10 years is not to make you feel old, like it's a lifetime, right? And especially this is not just about the duration of time, but, you know, most podcasts, you know, they start to fade out around episode 8 or 9 when they realize, wait a minute, this is like a lot of work. Yeah. And, you know, money is not just pouring in. So it's a testament to you and your patience and your passion and persistence and community that you built around what you're doing to allow you to continue on for 11 years.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Should we have a cheers?
We should.
Did you bring something special?
I did. You asked me like moments before like we were recording, like, I hope it's BYOB. And I'm like, uh-oh, all I have is an iced tea.
So you're enough.
I'm bringing something. It's not enough. So I did, because this is so special, I brought out something very special. You said you also have a special drink.
I do have something very special. So
I still believe ladies first.
Okay. All right. Well, I have, as you can see this bottle here, this is a slow gin, S-L-O-E, that I brought back from New Zealand with me. And it's a sipper, not a shooter. So I'm just going to pour a little bit of this for myself to enjoy. And when that's over, I also have decaf coffee because it's my favorite. So I'm going to start with this slow gin from New Zealand, right, which is actually, I'm going to say it's Humdinger. It's a very, very small, it's like a couple owned distillery that is experimenting with all sorts of gin, and they're award-winning and delicious. So anyway, shout out to Humdinger, slow gin
this
from New Zealand.
This podcast is not sponsored by Humdinger, but in the future,
no, it's
it
not.
Might be. If Humdinger's listening, I brought a little bit of iced tea, a little bit of caffeine for the afternoon, but because I thought this was something special, I love sort of following in, the adventurous spirit that is Jackie and Jump with Traveling Jackie. I wanted to sort of go international. I love Japan, Japanese culture, Japanese cuisine, and I love sake. I'm not a huge drinker, but I love Japanese sake. And so I even brought out not just sake, but my special little masu cup that is meant specifically for sake drinking. It is the Japanese, you know, centuries ago, this was actually, they made these cups actually to measure rice. Like, this is not the, it's a square wooden cypress box, which is not the most conducive for drinking. So it was used to measure rice, and then eventually became something that was a tradition to drink sake. And I brought one of my favorite sakes. So this is
cool.
For you.
So we're cheersing, and we're cheersing with you out there too. So I hope you brought something special. Cheers.
Come
by. Cheers. International flavors today. I love it. Yeah. So I think we should start with first the story about behind the podcast, because I don't think I've ever actually shared it on this show, like what happened and how I started it. No, because when I first started, I was like, I feel like I wasn't so much telling my story as which I occasionally do, I guess, but like, I was more, you know, sharing tips and stuff. That was 11 years ago. I was kind of in a different place then. And so it was less behind the scenes and more like, you know, here's everything I know about travel. But to go back to that, once upon a time in 2014, I went to my very first business conference ever. And it was not travel related. It was just business related, new media. So anything online, blogging, podcasting, video, like YouTube stuff. It was that. And I had just started my first blog like the year before. And so I show up to this conference completely overwhelmed and kind of excited, and also felt like a total poser because it was my, you know, like everyone's walking around like they already know everything. And I was like still learning and putting everything together. And I had not even a year under my belt of doing, this was January, by the way, early January is the first thing that happened in 2014. And it's like every other track at that conference was about podcasting. And I specifically avoided them because it was overwhelming to me. And I already had this blog and I was like, I need to focus on this. It's, you know, all this, there's just a lot of work to do, a lot that goes into like running an online business. And so, then they had the podcast awards. I think it was People's Choice. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I mean, you won. So yeah, it was People's Choice Podcast Awards. And I noticed that Best Travel Podcast was one of the categories. And I noticed that someone named Lou Mangiello won this podcast. They announced it at the conference. And so I think it was maybe Twitter. I don't even know. I haven't touched that in ages. But like, I reached out to you thinking, are you here by any chance? Like, are you at this conference? Because I haven't met anybody else really in the travel space here. And it'd be really cool to just meet you. And then you showed up and you said, yes, not only am I here, but let's go to breakfast. And you sat me down and I think I gave you a copy of my book that had just come out. And you essentially gave me a list of things to do. You're like, first of all, you need to start a podcast. And I was like, Lou, I'm not going to start a podcast. Like, I've got this blog. I just did this book. Like, I've got all this stuff going on. I can't start a podcast. And you gave me a couple other things to do. And, you know, it only took me 1 month after that point. It was a month, I think.
Yep.
Or maybe two. I remember 2 months later.
I remember the fact that you executed so fast.
Mm. Yeah, because it was a good idea, Lou.
Well, and after talking to you, I'm like, you're losing out by just blogging, you lose the ability to convey the emotion, right? And especially for what you do, right? You empower people around the world to embrace the world and travel and solo travel. It needed to come in a way that was more impactful, than simply the written word.
And you would know, as winner of the Best Travel Podcast for what, ten years running every year, by the way. So I feel like every year since then you've won. They're like, let's not give it to this guy anymore. Let's just put him in the Hall of Fame so we can start giving it to other people.
this is only because it's a funny story. So they're actually two different things. Like, the podcast awards was its own thing. It was really the only thing in the industry. And pretend I'm not talking about me, because this is not about me. This is about you. So I'm very grateful, again, because of community. So, like, I won, like, the community won 9 years in a row. And the next year, they're like, you know what? You're done. Like, you can't win anymore. You're now a quote-unquote legacy podcast.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they stopped. And then they stopped doing the travel awards, like, for the podcast awards. And then the sort of podcast Hall of Fame was just something different. So
that's true. They're totally separate. That's right. I do remember that. Yeah. Well, I believe in, even if you don't know what it is that you want to do, if someone enters your life who has some experience, who is an expert in something and leaves you with like cornerstone advice, like there have been a few times in my life that I can identify these cornerstone pieces of advice. And you were one of them because I knew that you were coming from experience, you know, and I mean, this was literally my first conference ever. And here's you who just won this award saying, you need to do this. And yes, of course it was scary and I didn't know anything about it. And the conference was over and I hadn't gone to any of the podcasting tracks, you know, and I had actively avoided it, but I also knew Pat Flynn by then. And so he taught me everything I knew about podcasting. Thank you very much to Pat Flynn. and then the idea came to life and that it truly did. It set me apart. The other amazing thing that happened right at the beginning, which this is not normal, but this happened to me right at the beginning when I launched the show, when I published the first few episodes. Do you remember New and Noteworthy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they even still have New and Noteworthy, and nobody understands what the algorithm is or ever was. It's like this mysterious place on iTunes where once you start a podcast, you have up to 8 weeks. This is what used to be back in 2014. So I have no idea what happens now, but back in the day, you have up to 8 weeks from publishing, 8 weeks to get into that section at all. And nobody knows how you get there, but if you do get there, they put your show like front and center and it gains a lot of attraction and whatever. And for whatever reason, my show ended up there after 3 days, which was absolutely terrifying because at first I thought this is going to be a really cool thing. like, holy, what? You know, like My show is, it's smack in between Tim Ferriss and a Game of Thrones, which I didn't even know about by then, which is so funny to me. But yeah, it was smack right in between these two podcasts, front and center. And it stayed there for a whole week, like 7 full days. It stayed front and center because usually they change that up like every day. And finally, it ended up, you know, changing, and we moved. I was still in New and Noteworthy for like all of the 8 weeks, which was just insane. But that is really what kind of catapulted me onto this fast track of podcasting and really being set apart in my industry, because I was the only one. I was the only female, the only solo female who was podcasting in the travel space at that time. I mean, there were guys, there were couples, but there weren't any other solo females. So you weren't wrong. It was incredible advice. And thanks to iTunes, I was both terrified and exhilarated at the same time, because the other thing, I think a lot of my listeners do know this part, that the first review that ever came in for me was horrible. It was a 1-star review. No. And it was like, your voice is more annoying than NPR. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to crawl under a desk and hide for like ever. I'm never coming out.
Right, it makes you want to quit. You're like, well, if this person is saying that, everybody must think that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? I always think this too, is that for every one of those, there's 100 or 1,000 people that love you, you know? And at the same time, the positive reviews started coming in. And I remember there was another podcaster who mentioned me on her show and was really excited about my new young podcast. And to be mentioned on someone else's show and talked about like that was really uplifting. You know, like it's incredible how far encouragement can go, because she didn't know what I was dealing with. She didn't know that I was like on a fence of like, wow, this can go one way or the other right now. And I had just started. And I mean, I'm really glad I stuck with it.
Well, because I think there are, and there probably have been. I've been doing this more than 20 years. There have been moments along the way that you start to question yourself. Like, why am I doing this? Is anybody listening? Like, do I even bother continuing? Because we're hoping certain things happen. We work to have all these things happen. And maybe they're not happening on the timeline that we set for ourselves. And then we start to second guess. Maybe I'm not on the right path. And then that happens, right? You get that review. You get somebody wants to interview. You get that thing that reassures you that you are clearly on the journey that you're supposed to be.
For me right now, that just happened.
Yeah. And I want to get to that, but I think I think really sort of establishing, you know, like in comic book movies, like your origin story, I think is really important. And from the even before we get to sort of the podcast, like you've always been, you're not just sort of, one thing I like about you, Jackie, is you don't just say, your show is not about you, meaning this is not about here's where I have traveled and here's all my stories, but really you are an advocate for adventurous, independent travel, men, women, solo, couple, whatever it is. What do you think, we talked about those moments, what for you do you think was that moment or was that time you're like, this is the thing that is sparking my passion for travel, that sort of transformational travel experience that you had that led you down this path?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because it's very, very clear to me what it was. Like there's a before I lived in Costa Rica, Jackie, and there's an after I lived in Costa Rica, Jackie. And that was the first place that I went up. I mean, aside from Mexico here and there, the first place that I actually traveled and stayed abroad was Costa Rica when I was 18. And I remember, I mean, I have so many journals from that time, and I've actually gone back through them because I'm working on writing books now. And I've recently been into this, like revisiting the mind of where I was at that time when I was 18. And it is wild because I was so sheltered, so sheltered when I was growing up, you know, I mean, yeah, like we took road trips and went camping, but I didn't like travel far and wide. Like I never had that from, you know, my family. We just didn't do that. And so my first opportunity to really do that was living abroad in Costa Rica. And I lived with a family for the whole year and I studied Spanish in the university. And I mean, on the outside, like externally, that was the idea, was go study Spanish. You're going to live with a family, like, cool. You're going to become fluent in Spanish. Excellent. That's what I wanted. But what I didn't realize was all the stuff that happened in between, you know, where I was growing as a person. I learned so much. I feel like I sprouted my little baby wings and like started flying and that like I was a baby 18-year-old adult and like the whole world was just ready for me to come explore. And I learned how to do it. Not only was I there, but I was actually doing it. I was finding the, and also it's all before Wi-Fi, right? All before like we had smartphones in our pocket. So I'm like learning to navigate this big world with buses and foreign languages and hostels and faraway places and new people. And, you know, it completely, also lots of dancing, lots and lots of salsa dancing. It completely changed me. I mean, I guess maybe not, I don't even want to say it changed me. It separated me. Like there was my childhood. And then there was like, oh, this can be what life is? Like, what? What? Like, I want more of this, you know, like I'm going to keep doing this. And so that was it for me, was like that whole year of going through the culture shock of being being a minority, of speaking a foreign language, like until it was rolling fluently off my tongue. I mean, I was immersed. I was in it. I was like so meant to be there. I felt so in my element by the time I actually left, which was horrible for me because I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay. I mean, I loved it, but I had to go back to school. I had the chains of university just tying me down, you know, and ultimately that's why I ended up studying abroad in Italy again, like the next year, because I couldn't not, basically at that point, I just couldn't not do it. And yeah, so I had recognized something so profound and learned, and I knew I had just started. I knew I was just getting started. And it was which started the snowball of traveling was the very beginning of the spark. And then as the years went on and as I continued learning and expanding my horizons and just changing and developing as a person and really growing into who I felt I was, who I am, you know, like I was coming alive. Like I was really experiencing my potential, and like that's really addicting. And just, I mean, what else is there? You don't know. It's waiting for you on the other side. Okay, go. You know, like let's go do that. And that is what I wanted to share. That is like the piece that kind of sparked. It's just that I didn't know how to do it for a long time. I didn't know how to share that for a long time.
But listen, and I believe and I agree with you that I think travel is the greatest educator. You can mm-hmm. learn more by going places and experiencing a culture, you know, firsthand than you can by reading anything in a book. However, I have to believe that you are self-aware enough to know that when you talk about going to Costa Rica by yourself at age 18 with nobody else, not knowing the language, not even having like Google in your pocket, it's wildly scary. Like most people are going, that might be good for you, but I could never do that. What do you think holds people back from taking that, to reference the podcast, that jump into travel? And then how do you help people overcome that very understandable and legitimate fear?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. That's what I'm all about around here, really, is that. Because there is a lot of fear, and the fear is universal. It is the unknown. It is, but if you break that down, what does it actually look like? What, it's like people think they're going to get on a plane and get, let's just use Costa Rica as this example. They're going to get to Costa Rica and forget everything they know. I don't understand. You know, like, no, you're still in an airport. You're still around people. Like you still can figure out body language. Like you can ask for help if you need it. Like you can get a taxi. You have an address. Like you can figure it out. You know, it's resourcefulness. And I think people forget that they're resourceful. I think people forget that they have the ability to figure things out when there is an unknown, you know, and even what happens if a plan falls through in the US? Like if, maybe the hotel didn't have your reservation. Oh my God, is it the end of the world? No, you just figure it out, right? Okay, even if you're in a new city or you had a plan, like you get through it, you figure it out. And I just think that people like making the stage so far away, like if the stage moves to a different country, it just becomes layered with other, you know, elements of like, well, what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that? But really at the end of the day, like I think we have everything already inside us to get through any situation. And so I love to facilitate that for people so that they can find out that, oh yeah, I can do this. You know, like maybe this was hard or maybe this seemed scary to me before I showed up for this. But now I've learned that I can, not only can I do this, I am thriving. I have new skills. I have new courage and I can do the next thing because it's going to be easier the next time because I have proof that I can do hard things.
And I think that's what your podcast does. I think the biggest fear a lot of people have is, you know, maybe theoretically I'd love to go and visit this foreign country, this place that may be scary, and they don't know where to start. Subscribing to your podcast, and I don't mean to sound like your PR team, but subscribing to your podcast is that first step. Mm-hmm. Because by stepping into that world, into your community, and, you know, into having you sort of at their disposal, you alleviate, I think, a lot of that initial fear, and you are giving continual advice to someone who dreams about traveling but doesn't even know where to begin.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot to be said about that because it's, I mean, you can take this idea of not knowing how to travel and apply it to anything. I mean, if you're starting a new job and you don't know how to do that job, what are you going to do? You're going to learn, right? You're going to ask questions. You're going to trial and error until you figure it out. Maybe you'll listen to a podcast that gives you, I'm saying this because when I was starting my own podcast, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea. And just because you told me this is a good idea, you should do it. It's not like I suddenly became capable. You know, I had to figure it out.
I didn't think you were actually going to do it, Jackie. I was just, you know, having a nice breakfast.
don't suggest things to me lightly because I will actually do them. I'm a doer. I'm not just a thinker. I actually do. But I mean, just applying that idea to anything, it's very similar. I mean, a lot of people wish they could travel. A lot of people wish they had the time, but really it's a matter of priority. It's not a matter of, I don't have time or money. It's that you don't actually really want to go do that. Whereas for me, when I make a decision that I actually really want to go do something, I'm going to figure out how to do it, you know? And I do think that that's, I hope that that's true for most people. And for a lot of people, traveling is not for everybody. It's really not. I mean, I think most of the people listening to us now, it's probably for them. So they're probably not part of that little section that I was just talking about. But I mean, if you really want to go do something, you're the only person who's going to either empower or stop you from doing it, you know? And so once you take that kind of look on life, I guess. I mean, then anything you can do it if you put your mind to it. I mean, this is cliche. Everybody says it, but really, like, if you want to be in this position of, I don't know, we can use travel as an example. Hang out with people who travel. Listen to what they're saying. Ask them questions. Like, learn. Check out podcasts. Read books. Like, what's going to happen? You're eventually going to move yourself closer to that goal. And that's, I mean, there's so many free resources out there, like this show. It's exactly why I have it. Like, this is the easiest low-hanging fruit to just grasp onto and expose yourself to whatever it is that you're interested in.
Yeah, and I love the fact that your show is entitled Jump, because I think that's what it's about. It's, you have to sort of literally, like, jump into it. You don't have to have it all figured out. You sort of build your wings on the way down, but you also offer, like, you are the parachute for people saying, look, I've been through this. I've done it. You can do this too, which is very empowering, because I think a lot of times too, we have these things that we want to do, but we don't have that person or support system around us to say, yeah, go ahead and do it, or almost advocate for us and push to do that. And I think, especially for you, you're such a strong advocate for solo travel. And so, like, what do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions people have about, you know, what for a lot of people is very scary about traveling solo?
I think it's probably safety. I think that's probably the biggest misconception, is that people think for whatever reason that going off on your own is not going to be a safe thing. Honestly, like, I have been doing this for so long. I remember being in the back seat of a cab in Costa Rica. I wrote in my journal about this because there was a night that I decided not to take the bus because I had a gut feeling. I just had a gut feeling. I was like, it's
some
late.
Some people are freaked out already, Jackie. That right there, like, being in the back of a cab by yourself in Costa Rica is already, people are like tapping out.
Okay, continue listening then, because this is amazing. So No, we had been downtown. I was at the bars or whatever, and I was going home. And yeah, I opted to take a cab instead of the bus, which really is not that big of a deal. Like the bus drivers in Costa Rica, everyone's so happy there. They're so friendly. Like I really never felt like I was in danger. This cab driver, this is what I wanted to say. He was like, so I don't know if you have ever tried to learn Spanish or if you speak another language, especially if you speak a romance language, anybody out there listening, you know that this is true. They are so endearing when they talk to you. Like there's so much more, they use terms of endearment to anyone. You know, it's kind of like you're maybe like an older person in the United States who would call you darling or whatever. And they're just being sweet about it. This is like this cab driver this night was being so sweet to me. And just like, it was almost like he was making sure that I felt safe, you know, and he's, now that I'm saying that, I'm like, man, I hope people aren't seeing that as like, he wasn't being awkward or creepy at right. all. He was so genuine. I was like, wow. Like, I don't know what that experience stands out in my mind as one of those moments that I think of when people think of like, people are scary, you know, like, yeah, people can be scary. Like I could have possibly gotten in the car with the wrong person that night, but like it was a legit taxi. Like I'm using my senses, you know, and I'm not gonna just like call any car. Like these guys are in the network and whatever. Like he's not gonna jeopardize my safety. He was actually looking out for me, and he was so sweet about it. I mean, they'll like wait and make sure you can get into your door. And I don't know. I think that there's so much, especially now, there's so much fear being spread. Mm-hmm. And no one is wrong to be afraid of, you know, like that's valid. I totally get that. But I also think that not everybody is inherently like scary, you know? Actually, a lot of people are inherently really sweet and welcoming. And there's just it's just you've got to go experience it to understand, to hone your gut testing skills. You know, I mean, when you have when women talk about safety, we all talk about, you know, checking that gut feeling, and, there's nothing stronger than that. So I would definitely say like, that is absolutely my first tip is just like, trust that gut feeling, but also for anyone, common sense is your best defense. I always say that. And as long as you don't leave your common sense behind, remember, you're still you when you show up somewhere, you know, like don't forget, don't suddenly become like some inebriated person walking on the street, not caring about what they're doing. If that's not you, like just be you, be smart and you'll figure it out. You'll get through. Like, I really think that, yeah, safety is definitely the number one misconception. And then I would say the second thing is, again, just like not knowing how to plan, but that goes back to resourcefulness is like, you can figure it out. It's not that hard. It's actually so simple. I'm amazed. Like this still happens to me all the time, realizing how easy it is to just go somewhere else because the only thing you have to do is buy a ticket and then get on the plane. And then when you get off, you're somewhere else. And like you figure out the rest.
But that's why what you do is so important. And I'm not just saying it because you're here, but it's true because so much of what we hear are the bad things. And understandably mm-hmm. so, right? When something goes bad, we want to, you know, be made aware of it. But you don't hear a lot about the amazing experiences and how safe it is and how you're right. 99.9% of the people on the planet are kind and care, you know, are understanding that you are, you know, a stranger in a strange land and want to help you as opposed to want to hurt you. And I think you giving that reassurance to people that they can do it and they should do it because of the transformative experiences that you have. And that's the other thing that I like that you do too, is you help people overcome that initial fear by, you know, and we'll talk more about your show, but your show has evolved into so much more than what we were talking about in mm-hmm. that, you know, booth in Las Vegas mm-hmm. all those years ago. And you do a lot of group trips, which is a way for somebody to say, you know what, this is how I can carefully and safely dip my toe into the water into traveling to places I might not know before, because podcasting, Jackie, is such an intimate medium. And mm-hmm. you might not know them, but they know you. And they feel like they have a trusted relationship with you. And like, yeah, Jackie's never met me, but I know her and I trust her. And she's going to do this trip to Patagonia, to Greece, places that I really want to go. This is going to be my jumping off point to be able mm-hmm. to do that.
Absolutely. And I mean, one of the things I love to do on my trips is to include an adventure element. I mean, they're all based on some sort of adventure. So it's either hiking or biking or whatever. They're not easy, right? And there's a reason for that, because not only are we going across the world somewhere to, you know, find out what's waiting for us there, but we're also going to exert ourselves physically. We're going to become stronger. We're going to get over things that maybe we didn't think we could do before. And I've had so many people show up to my trips, especially the bike trips, which I love this so much. It's a really good example is cycling trips, like getting on a bike day after day. And cycling for lots of miles is like kind of a scary thing to think about. I remember how I felt before my first bike tour, and I was scared too. I was scared for all these reasons that I'm laughing about now, because none of them came to fruition. Like none of them came true throughout the week. The only thing that I felt after my first bike trip was, oh my gosh, when can I go again? You know, like, and I think that this is what comes through is people prove to themselves. They're not proving it to me. They're not proving it to anyone else. They're proving to themselves that they had no reason to fear, because the reward is so much greater than the fear. That is always true. On the other side of fear is reward. I always say that. On the other side of fear is reward. And the power of the reward just obliterates whatever used to be of that fear. And in its place becomes courage and resilience and ambition and, you know, more opportunity.
But I think, you know, I'd like, don't undervalue the importance of, you know, you put out content in the form of podcasts that are, and blogs and your book that is so incredibly helpful. But I think it's the community aspect of mm-hmm. what you have built. And I think you and I are very much in alignment with that. I think we're all in the relationship business. I think a lot of times content creators are, you know, set it and forget it. They just make content and put it out there and hope that they get likes and mm-hmm. downloads and hearts and follows and, you know, eventually right. money. But community is such an important part of that. And I know we've talked, you know, you've done these trips for so many years, and there are so many people that don't just come with you, but come back with you, because they feel like we all want to belong to something. And now your trips are not necessarily just about helping somebody to get to, you know, a destination on a map. It's about creating those relationships and sort of community-driven experiences as well.
Yeah, and that means almost like more to me than anything, because this is the part that like triggers me every time, is that I've done a lot alone. I have done so much in my life on my own. And yeah, you can look at that and say, wow, like that's good for you and you're so strong and all of this. And I'm over here like, cool. When do I get to have buddies? You know, like when is someone going to show up for me? And I mean, this is one of the reasons that I created Jump, is because I was tired of doing it by myself. So there is definitely a selfish reason to that. You know, like I want to bring other people on this journey with me. I want to do this thing. I want to have friends do it with me, and I want them to, you know, learn what it is to be transformed and to be empowered and all of that, just like I am in travel. I don't have control of that piece. So like, that's the magic that works itself on these group trips. But being able to facilitate a space where you're not alone, I feel like I belong here too. And that means more than anything to me. I mean, the community that we've created around this podcast, and yeah, I think we have a 40% or so repeat rate on my trips, because it's getting higher. It gets higher every year because the people, they meet each other, they fall in love with each other, they become friends for life. Like they want to, who's going on the next trip? Who's doing, you know? And I mean, we still have new people who show up, and it's incredible. But honestly, like I'm sitting in, I like sit back and I look at this, at like what's happening around me, and these incredible, like the most amazing people I've ever met show up on these trips and become my friends. I'm like, what? How? Like, wow, this is magic, you know? And I get to reap the benefits of having created this too. And I mean, it's incredible, because for example, I'm scared about this. I'm admitting this right now on the show. In 2 months, I'm going to be in Norway faced with a decision. There is a Via Ferrata on this group trip that I'm doing, and it's like up a cliff face, right? And I'm scared of heights, and I still don't know if I'm going to be able to do it or not. Because, and here's what I know to be true. I know that I'm afraid of heights. I know that I might freeze and cry and like freak out on this highest cliff face in Europe, which terrifies me, right? However, I also know that I'm going to be with my people. Like I am going to be surrounded by jump people, you know, and that might give me, I don't know. I have to come back and let you guys know if I made it or not, but like, it just might be enough to help me say yes to something that really scares me. And like, that's the beauty of it is I'm also doing this alongside you. This is definitely a team effort. I mean, I couldn't have a podcast without people listening. I wouldn't be here without them. And so we are doing this whole thing together, right? I wouldn't be able to do these trips if they didn't show up. And I wouldn't be able to, you know, I mean, there's so many things that go both ways. Like I'm putting myself out there, learning new skills and putting things together and stepping into leadership in places that's sometimes outside of my comfort zone, you know, and welcoming people. And we're all doing this together. It's like this community effort of just getting stronger, meeting the world, meeting ourselves, figuring out where we fit in this world, you know, and then like sharing it, like passing it on and going forward and taking it to the next step. It's an upward spiral. Like that's what I always say. I mean, you mentioned a jumping off point and gaining the wings, and you said something about on the way down, but I really like, I see it as on the way up. Like once you'll catch that airlift and you'll catch that momentum and you will go up and like, but it's, I mean, a rising tide lifts all ships, right? It takes everybody, like we're all in this together, and that's why it works. And that's why I'm still here. That is why I'm still here after all this time, because I have felt that. And that's, I mean, there's nothing, I guess, like, of course I feel a sense of fulfillment in my purpose because this is my career. This is my job. This is why I'm here. But like, oh my goodness, I get to reap the benefits too. And it's just it's amazing. It's powerful.
Yeah. I mean, wow, there's a lot to unpack there because, because look, as somebody growing up who didn't have a lot of friends, right? And now all of a sudden the community that comes together because of this are the people that have become my best friends. I remember like many, many years ago, somebody said to me, you know, you probably haven't met your best friend yet. I'm like, that's crazy talk. Like, I've been friends since kindergarten, but they're right because as we grow and as we mature, our interests change. And I think we're all magnets for the people that we want to attract. And it's why I love this medium so much because it is so personal. It is so intimate that people get to know you and the people that are coming on your trips are absolutely your people and they're each other's people, right? And that's why the friendships and the relationships come and they want to come back and travel with the same people over and over again. And it's what, you know, community, I think, has started to become a bit of a marketing buzzword. But what you're evidencing by people doing these trips with you, and you are going to scale that literal and figurative mountain because the people around you that you've helped to support are going to want to give that support back to you. They'll help you get up that metaphorical and literal hill and overcome that fear because that's what you've done for them. That's going to be their way to pay you back.
They're already doing it. Yeah. They're really already doing it. It's
and you can't put a price on it, Jackie. You know, I think so many people, we go to conferences all the time, right? And and so many of the, and understandably so, like this becomes a business and I want to talk to you about the business around this. But so many of the conversations are about monetization and money and how, there are some things that there's this unquantifiable reward that you get when I get it, right? Because I do a lot of group trips too. When you stand back and you watch this community of people that you've brought together, enjoying this place, having this moment, this literal life-changing experience, and you can look back and say, I helped make this happen. Like I helped like do this for people. You can't put a price on that.
Mm-mm. No, and I'm really grateful because I know what my purpose is, and I know that there are a lot of people who struggle because they don't know. And for them, it's a struggle because they would like to know. They want to find that, you know, and they would like to know. And I think that mine has been pretty clear to me for a while, and I feel so validated when it works, you know, when I can see one person saying, I can do hard things. I did this, you know, in tears at the top of a mountain or at the end of a trail, giving hugs or reuniting with that person that they met that was their roommate 5 years ago, you know, or whatever. Like there's so much energy and just positivity in that. And yeah, I mean, especially when we started this podcast, it wasn't for the money, right? Like, this is just a free platform. It's a passion. It's a labor of love kind of business, but
It has to be, right? Your why is the most important question.
Your why is the most important question. That is so true. And that is exactly why I'm sitting right here right now. And I wasn't at this time last year because I finally, during my sabbatical, put everything down and took space to go back to my why. And this is what I came up with is, you know what? It comes back to my purpose, it comes back to my why. And this is a message worth spreading, you know, and this is why I'm still here. And it's working.
Yeah. And we'll talk about, like, I want to get to that because I want to talk about this idea of building the business, because I think turning a love of travel into a business is a dream for a lot of people. How did you start to make that leap? Because you did not go into this saying, you know, I think this is going to be a really good, simple, easy way for me to make lots and lots of money. And we laugh because we know this, especially the journey as a podcaster or as an author, that's not, you know, you don't write a book and, like, you know, you get these 5-figure royalty checks every month.
No, it starts so far from that. I mean, I had a side gig that I was doing at the beginning it was still entrepreneurial. I was still in charge of it, but yeah, to make the money for the first couple of years, because no, this is something you build so slowly that, and I know that there's so many people who have asked me over the years, do you have any tips for me? I want to insert blank here. Like, I want to start a travel blog, or I want to start a podcast, or I want to start leading trips. And I mean, if I'm being completely honest with you, my first thought is don't. Just like, it's so hard. It's so hard. And I have wanted to quit so many times, you know, but I don't know if you're going to find anybody who doesn't say that, who's seen any kind of success, because it's probably taken so long. I mean, there are no overnight successes. Not really. You know, I mean, it's taken me, I've been doing this since I started my blog, it's been 12 years, and the podcast 11, and another blog 10, and Jump, like the adventures, the group trips, it's been 9 years. All of this has been surrounded around a decade. You know, it's like, I'm not, and beyond, before that, I was already traveling for a decade. Like, I had so much experience, and I just happened to show up in the right place at the right time where somebody said, you need to get into this industry, start a podcast, where there's not a lot of competition now, but, like, especially now, it's so saturated. To stand out, I don't know, I'm not trying to, like, dissuade anybody really from following their passions, but that is exactly what I will come back to, is if it's not a passion, then, you know, if you're doing it for the money, it's probably not going to work. And that's what everybody says, like, all the experts, everybody that I pay attention to says, you know, if it's not at all, it all comes back to your why. And, like, if it's not because you love it and it's a passion, because if you do, then you're going to find the right people who are going to respond to that. And that's going to be your success story, you know, is that, oh, I helped one person today. Like, that feels so good. Like, that's why I'm doing this. Cool. Pat myself on the back, you know, take another sip of gin and, like, you know, go on your merry way while you're maybe making money somewhere else. But it just doesn't happen right away. I mean, again, like, I studied Pat Flynn, like, freaking religion for when I first started. So
don't believe everything you see on Instagram in terms of how quickly this does or does not happen. And look, I will say, I still think, especially, and look, there's a couple of things too about the reason the why is so important. I talked about the intimacy of this medium, right? You're literally in somebody's ears in terms of the way that we consume it. People can tell if you're faking it. People can tell if your why is not authentic. We, like, again, authenticity has become this marketing word. Being genuine and being transparent, that is the reason why people, you know, people fall in love with a person. They don't fall in love with a brand. It's why people fall in love with you, because that comes through in that podcast. And then over time, the monetization comes, because it's not just about creating this thing that you can sell, but your community. If you build authentic, meaningful community, they want to help you, right? They want to see you succeed. You give so much value that they want to say thank you in return. It's why things like Patreon, if you do it the right way, works out well. Why group trips work out well. And I still think in podcasting specifically, there is tremendous opportunity to be a big fish in a relatively small pond versus I'm going to start a YouTube channel tomorrow and hope that I make money by getting 10 million views, you know, like Mr. Beast. That, you know, Mr. Beast is the unicorn, but in podcasting, there is a way still, because of the way the lack of algorithms work, that everybody can be found. Everybody can do well, and it puts us all, I think, on an even playing field, and I think there's still tremendous opportunity here.
We'll come right back to that. Let's take a moment now to thank our wonderful show sponsors. Osprey is the market leader in technical outdoor, travel, and everyday packs. And I've personally used Osprey packs since 2015. My favorites are the Fairview Trek 50 for multi-day hikes, the Cirrus 24 for day hikes, the Transporter Rolling Duffel 60, which is my trusty check luggage for faraway adventures, and of course, the countless packing cubes I use to organize everything that goes in them. We are proud to support each other on the podcast and beyond. We love getting outside and we want to see more people outdoors. So find out more and join us at osprey.com. During the month of April, join me and Oboz Footwear for the fun and friendly Trails for Trees Challenge, an invitation to hike as many trails as you can in the entire month of April. For every hike over a mile, Oboz will plant a tree and you get entered to win weekly prizes. So the more you hike, the more trees you will help plant and the more chances you have to win. It's free and you can register and join anytime from April 1st to April 30th. It's open to walkers, hikers, runners, and people using mobility assistive devices. Find out more and join us at Trails for trees.com.
This is true. I mean, it really comes down to, you know, what your passion is, what it's about, what your niche is, and who's seeking that information and how you're going to deliver it. That also matters.
What do you think? Again, you've been on this incredibly long, wonderful journey, and we see and we hear all these amazing things that you've done as you've built this business. What do you think the biggest challenge in growing Jump with Traveling Jackie as a podcast and as a brand has been?
Okay, it's time to get vulnerable.
You're like, you weren't supposed to ask me that one, but
yeah. The biggest challenge for sure is exposing myself. Like when you create something and put it out for another human to look at and judge or listen to or whatever it is, especially nowadays that they can say whatever they want from the comfort of the sideline. Mm-hmm. When you're
protected
down in the
by
arena.
The veil of anonymity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really hard. It's really, really hard. Going back to that very first review that I ever got that was like, yeah, you sound like verbal fry and I don't want to listen to your voice, you know? And I'm like, oh no. What have I done? You know, I have just put myself out there, a little lamb surrounded by wolves. And like, it is so scary. It's so, so scary. And now, I mean, people will take anything you say and twist it and accuse you. And yeah, it's so flipping scary to have a microphone in front of your face and to know that thousands of people are going to listen and they can say and do whatever they want. They can leave any kind of review. It's like, man, they don't know me. They don't know my heart and it doesn't matter. They're just going to say whatever they want because they can. That's definitely the scariest part, especially as anyone, I would say, I mean, I'll speak for myself, especially as my show grows and I get more exposure. You have no control over that. And I think honestly, that's the scariest part. And that is why, you know, just recently at the after party at the Podcast Awards, I was talking to some people about, they were giving me some tips of how, you know, how to get even bigger. And I said, like, I don't know if I want to get that big. And he goes, yeah, you do. Like without skipping a beat, he said, yeah, you do. I was like, and I've thought about that. Like, do I, it's just scary. You know, like I think it's just a human reaction. You know, like it's taken a lot to get to where I am and it's everything to me. It's my baby. It's my business. It's my livelihood. It's my relationships. It's my reputation. And at the end of the day, sure, all the reward is mine, but also all the risk is mine as well. And yeah, so that's the scariest part.
Well, I think there's another aspect of it too, right? We keep talking about passion and you know, using the word love in terms of loving what you do. And mm-hmm. that's like, for me, when I do speaking, when I do coaching, when I do my events, it's to help creators and solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, turn that thing that they love into the thing that they do. And as you grow and as you do get more quote unquote successful, however you define success, because it's not mm-hmm. always dollars and cents, mm-hmm. you now have this additional challenge of, and I'd love to hear your sort of thoughts on this, in balancing for you specifically, your love of travel with now sort of the business side of mm-hmm. running the podcast, running the community, like running the business of the business.
Balance. That's impossible. It's so hard. It's like something I'm constantly seeking, is that balance. And you know, there's a hard question, Lou. And it's, again, it just also feels vulnerable because I do have to put myself out there every time I have a group show up, you know, and it is scary. Like I don't know everybody, and I've created this experience. I want everybody to have a good time, you know, and yet I'm still like, I show up as this introvert. I'm actually an introvert. I don't think people understand. Like they hear me. I'm talking one-on-one. I'm in my element right now, you guys. Like this is my element. Like these one-on-one quality conversations, like that's where I thrive. Put me in a group and I'm like, hi, like, tell me more about you. Cause I don't know.
Like you have to be an introvert or extrovert. Or an extrovert and introvert. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I am gone probably 4 or 5 months out of the year. There's never really been an average for that. It used to be that, and then COVID hit, and now it's like with a home base, it's kind of different. Then maybe I'll give up my home base because I'm still traveling, Jackie, like down in the core of me, like the person that I created when I was 18 has a foundation of international travel. So that being said, yes, as far as my work depends on making money and actually, you know, having a livelihood and having a career, I'm going to go do what I need to do for that. But at who I am to my core, like I get bored so fast. Like I need a lot of exciting, like I need change. I need beautiful landscapes. Like I grew up in one of the most beautiful places ever. I'm ruined for life. Like I have to travel far and wide to see like the most epic mountains and the most epic alpine lakes because I grew up in one. And so like, it has to be incredible to wow me. Right. And so I am like, I feel like in a constant state of, well, where is it going to be next? And what am I like? I live lightly rooted. You know, I mean, I have a home base and I love that. And I so appreciate community. I appreciate community more than you guys probably would expect for a traveler. But I love having my community here in Montana in multiple ways that I can tap into when I'm here. But it's like the lifestyle that I've created, just being in one place isn't enough for me. You know, I need to do more things. I need to get out. I need to have this 6-week trip here and that 2 months there, or even just a week here. Or, you know, I mean, my life needs to be peppered with travel so that I feel like I'm in that balance. Because this is what I experienced the most during COVID, was like, it felt like, you know, when you're working out at a gym, you go to the gym over and over so that you can work out those muscles so that you can continue to grow. If you stop, if you sprain an arm or like a wrist or something, for example, you can't use those muscles for a while. Those muscles will start to atrophy if you're not using them. It's the exact same thing in my world of travel. Like if I don't exercise that part of me, it atrophies, you know, like even they say in business, you're either growing or you're dying. Like I feel it's the same for me. I'm like either have, you know, the balance, as you call it, of, you know, traveling and not travel, whatever, or it's like, I'm dying, I'm dying inside. So yeah, I definitely will do trips just for me, or I'll plan time in between or around group trips just for me, with friends. So it's rarely am I solo these days. And I'm so grateful for that. I will still do it. I will still do it, but I am really happy to not always be alone anymore. And it's so cool because the people who travel with me are the people I've met through my trips. Like, oh, they're amazing. I will sing their praises till the cows come home.
Well, one of the things that I love about you, because I think I'm very much the same way, is because I've known you again a very long time. We work together and I always get the sense that you are looking for and seeking out the next way to challenge yourself, right? You're continuing looking to level up, which is why you've been so successful for so many years, right? You're not just, you know, you get complacent, you die, not just internally and emotionally, but I think as a business as well. And you've always looked to do and seek out what and where is next.
Yeah, this is why I've had so many different projects along the way. It started with one blog and then podcasts and another blog and now group trips. And I mean, there was a book in there and there are going to be more books. And also started speaking here and there, which I really love. I really, really want to write my books.
And so as we're touching on that, because I think this is really helpful to a lot of people as well. I think all creators struggle with monetization. What, and I know this is hard because we all do different things in different ways, but what advice would you give to other podcasters and content creators that want to make their passion profitable?
Man, this is interesting. An interesting question to ask me because specifically I feel a little bit removed from whatever is going on with like podcasters. You know, I don't really pay attention to the market. Like I'm not really the one to do the market research. It's just, it's not really like who I am. I'm just like head down. Like I know what I want to do. So I'm just going to do that. However, I do think that there is a lesson within that, which goes back to authenticity. It's always been what I feel I'm here to do. I'm not paying attention to what the content is on the next show over or who the guests are or what's going on or even how they're doing their advertising. You know, it's like I'm directly talking to sponsors who mean something to me. Everything I do, it comes from a place of, does this align? Does this align with who I am and where I want to go? You know, it's not, like, I don't want to just do something for the sake of doing it, you know? And I think that maybe that is the biggest. I mean, it was funny the other night, also at the after party at the podcast awards, when these amazing people that I just met were giving me tips, he stops and he goes, hold on, like you just won best travel podcast. Like we should be listening to what you have to say. I'm like, wow, that's wild. You know, like you're kind of right about that. But I mean, yeah, I feel almost like a loner out there. I just do what feels right for me. I always have. So that's the first thing, is just stay true to yourself.
Jackie, I'm not saying that there was a perfect answer to this question, but that was as close as you were going to get, because I think the right answer is what you gave, which is, and it's the way I operate, which is why I think I like the answer so much. I operate with blinders on. I don't look to see what other people are doing. I don't follow trends. I don't see what's hot. I don't see what I'm quote unquote supposed to be doing. I do the show that I would want to listen to. I do a show and create things that I think will serve my community and bring value to them best. Mm-hmm. That's what works for me. Because if I start chasing what other people are doing, that authenticity goes away. And I think that's sort of the root of what you were saying. And I think that's why you are successful. It's because you've created a business and brand that works for you. But more importantly, it works for the people you're trying to serve.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's something I've come back to over and over, which is also the question of, and this is one thing that I asked myself during my sabbatical too, when I was going back to my why and figuring out why, what I want to do going forward, is what kind of a show do I want to show up for? Mm-hmm. What content do I want to show up for? You know, I mean, there are always going to be people knocking on the door saying, hey, I have an idea for your show and interview this person. And I basically say no to all of them. I mean, it's just not how I work. It doesn't feel authentic to me. What I am interested in is what's going to work for my show, pretty much. It's like, if there's something about you that I find interesting, that you have this cool story to share, these are the people who come onto this show. They're not always, you know, the most eloquent, like someone who's been on stage before. Like they're not the headliners, you know, they're real people. And those are real conversations. And that's why one of the things that makes this show unique, I think, is that the guests aren't on other people's shows, you know, like they're just here because I thought they were cool and they have something neat to share that they did in their backyard or whatever. They had a quest that they went on, you know, and those are the kind of conversations that I want to show up for, you know, like what is it that you're doing with your life that we can learn from, you know, something big and courageous that like, you know, is going to be inspiring for people. That's the conversation I want to show up for. It's coming back to, I'm the one here. I'm the one sitting here on the mic, you know, like, what do I want to talk about? Who do I want to invite?
Right. Like for me, my North Star is like, I do a show that I would want to listen to. And hopefully mm-hmm. there are other people out there that want to listen as well. My show is not for everybody. Your show is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You're not trying to reach everybody.
Nope.
You're trying to reach, you know, quote unquote, your people. Mm-hmm. And I think that has to also sort of flow through when you look into things, you know, we're talking about monetization. When you start approaching things like brand partnerships and sponsorships, you have to do those as you do in a way that very much aligns with your values and audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's probably, for me, it's the biggest thing. And I actually, the other thing I was going to say was to think big, because I think a lot of us can get caught up in the details and the small things. But I actually, this was another piece of advice that happened at a conference it wasn't even one-on-one. It was during a talk that I was attending and it has stayed with me. And I mean, he was giving an example of, you know, you can sell this for $1 or you can sell 100 of these for $1. You can sell one of them for $100. And mm-hmm. it was that sort of idea. It's like, okay, how can my output be the most quality so that it only takes one person to sponsor me to make it worth it? Something like that. Instead of, you know, like going for all these little things that, yes, it does add up. And yes, it's a good way to start if you need to start somewhere. But I think now I'm definitely into like a much bigger picture of how can one transaction make the most impact? And that's not just dollars. I mean, like that's with show, with content, it's everything. It's like, it's just quality over quantity, you know, and sticking to that because it's going to enable you to take leaps instead of little steps.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think it's super important to obviously control the messaging. And I think when you do that too, because I'm the same way, right? I would rather have, you know, no sponsors for a while or one big sponsor rather than trying to sort of piecemeal a lot of different things. I think it doesn't serve your audience well. I think it doesn't serve you well, as opposed to having just one that is very impactful and you are in complete control, right? I think when we talk about things like monetization, I've never wanted to build my business on the hopes that some algorithm will show my video enough times that I'll make a few pennies on it. I want to sort of be able to control, you know, how the money goes in and how it comes out. As much as you are willing to share, as long as we're talking about, you know, not just looking backwards, but looking ahead, like what's next for you? Like what's next for you, Jackie, and what's next for Jump with Traveling Jackie, whether it's a project, a new venture, you know, a new path that you're looking to carve out for yourself. Because you do not take, you know, you take the road that is less traveled, in my opinion. So I envision Jackie when she goes down a path for a new business idea, you sort of have a machete in your hands and you're sort of carving your way through the jungle, figuring it out as you go along. Sometimes you probably do have a machete in your hands, carving your way through the jungle.
I love that image. I have a lot of ideas, of course. I always do. But the one thing I think that I can share, because I know it's going to come true because I know me, is that I really, and I've kind of alluded to this already, but I really, really want to write books. Like I have multiple books inside of me. They really, really want me to sit down and get them out because they're like, hello, we're ready. Like, but you got to give them time, you know? And so I am working to create space so that I have more time to actually write. and get those out, because that's, I mean, I want, I don't know. There's multiple different ones, you know. I have to just figure out what they are and get them out there. But that, and I would like to do more speaking, I think. And, you know, just, I mean, and that is, it is a little bit of a change of path. It's not, it's probably going to look, meaning my travel schedule is probably going to look a little different once I start that. My open doors are probably going to close a little bit, because I'm going to need to, you know, put my head down and get some writing done. And I'm really excited about that. I want to give myself that gift of space and to let that part of me like really come out and shine, because I've always been a writer. I love words. I love to write, and it's my favorite medium. And so that's what's next for me is focusing a little in that direction.
You know, we're coming sort of full circle, because I think we said at the beginning, you've inspired, literally, like you've changed, you know. And I'm not sure sometimes if we as creators are able to step back and think about the impact, the countless number of lives, like every download, like there's a soul on the other side that's giving you the most valuable commodity, which is their time. And you've inspired and moved and probably changed people's in more impactful ways than you realize, right? Again, for every email that you get mm-hmm. with that inspiring story, there's probably 100 people mm-hmm. that have theirs that don't reach out. And I think you've inspired people not just to take the leap into travel, but I think other things that probably were not even part of what your thought process was when you were creating the content. What do you think, if you had to sort of boil it down to one thing that you hope listeners and your community and your readers take away from your work, what is the one thing you hope they take away?
That's despite my speechlessness right now, this is actually very easy for me. it's just how to word it, but it's absolutely courage, like to believe that they can do it, to see how even I have gone and done scary things and made it happen for me, how my guests have, how all the people who come on my trips, how there are people out there who are doing big and often very scary things and coming out stronger and ready to do it again or take it to the next level. That's absolutely the message that I want to share, is just get out of your comfort zone, because you're going to figure it out. You're going to get over that fear. You're going to feel the reward of that courage. You're going to tune into your resourcefulness, and you know, you're going to get through it. So that's absolutely it, is just do the thing, live your life. We're here once, you know? I mean, there's so much to be explored and learned and seen, and there's people to meet, and there's like skills to learn. And I mean, there's so much out there waiting for us. And I think it's just way too easy to get wrapped up in the small picture, you know, just back up, big picture, get out there. Exercise those wings, fly up.
I love the fact, because you've used this so many times when you and I have spoken, that you use the word courage and being courageous. Is that the thing that you would, and maybe it's not, that you would tell, you know, if you could tell your younger self one thing before you set off on that first big trip or that big, you know, next big scary trip, what would you, if you can go back and talk to not that you're not young already, Jackie, but if you can go back and talk to younger Jackie, what would you say to her?
You know, I actually think that courage is one of my superpowers, because it almost doesn't occur to me that it won't be there. Like, I just do big things. I that's what I do. And I do believe that that's why I'm here, because I do think that that's my superpower, and I am in a place to share that. And that's why, if I were to go back and talk to my younger self, the word that comes to mind is actually resilience. Is that this is what you're going to learn. You know, you are going to learn resilience, and that means that there are going to be challenges along the way. It's not that my younger self didn't have the courage to do it. I definitely did. I think it's the power to keep going, go through, stand up time and time again, to do these big things, to take these negative reviews and to work through it, you know, and to show up on the other side. And I think resilience is, it's more of a byproduct though. So it's like, if I could have told myself, you know, it's going to come, like that resilience will come because your courage is showing up for you. And this is going to show up for you too.
I love that. And it's why, Jackie, the recognition and the accolades that you've received over the years, you know, the recent iHeartRadio Best Travel Podcast is more than just the recognition of content about destinations and travel tips. And, you know, you're not about packing lists. It's about the impact and, you know, a word that I don't necessarily love is influencer, because I think it's a word that too many people attribute to themselves. Right. I think it's a gift word, but you have demonstrated, and I think that's why you are so deserving of the award, is you have demonstrated true influence over the people that you have reached across the globe with your voice and with your words. And I think that's why I'm so happy not only to have known you for this past decade plus, but why I'm so incredibly proud of the recognition that you deserve with that award.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I want to share one more thing right now. And this is another word that I definitely think is worthy of sharing today. When I just turned 40 in New Zealand, I was on a jump trip. Like I was on a trip with people I met through my own, you know, company, which is amazing. I asked the people who were over 40 to give me advice for turning 40. And there's one of those is sticking with me every day. And it means so much to me. And it was simple. It was the first one. The first person said was bask in the love, just bask in the love of, like, you know, of this accolade in your life, essentially, like turning 40. But I'm carrying that with me. And as I've received this reward, and even as you're speaking with me right now, I'm remembering her voice saying, bask in the love. Her name's Jackie too. Shout out to Jackie. Thanks, Jackie. Like, just basking in the love. I think that, you know, we deserve that. And I deserve that. And I'm happy to be able to like bask in that. And so I'm going to say thank you, and I'm feeling it. I'm receiving it. I appreciate it very much.
I love every single part of that, you know, because sometimes I think it's hard for us to accept attention and accept that love, but it is so very well deserved. And you give it back to your community and to your audience in spades. So, and I think as you celebrate the second anniversary of your 20th birthday, I still think that you're not 40. There's no way you're 40. I still think that the best is yet to come. And hopefully it doesn't take us, you know, another decade before we can have another sort of, you know, milestone conversation about where you and where Jump has come and gone.
Yeah. Here's to that.
Yeah.
I'm on to my coffee now. You're on to your tea.
I mean, I'll keep the sake coming just because it's here.
You're on the East Coast. It's a little later there.
Cheers to you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for being here and helping me just have this conversation and celebrate this moment. It means a lot to me that you are the person that's on the other side of the mic today. And after just everything, after the whole story, after all of it, it's really just been incredible. And I'm just really grateful. So
I mean it sincerely when I say it is an honor and it is a privilege. And thank you for asking me. And thank you for allowing me to sort of, you know, follow behind from a distance and watch your incredible journey and trajectory, and all the things that you've done and all the things that I know you're going to continue to accomplish.
Thank you. Okay. Until next time.
Cheers.
Until next time. Cheers.